the scripture today is Luke 1, verses 39 through 45. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." The word of God for the people of God.
Connie is a fifth grade teacher, and I was just thinking, Connie, like when they were answering those questions, is that what it's like when you look out at your class and you're thinking, they're so smart, they're so good? Oh, I wonder if you would bow your heads and pray for me and with me at this time. Lord, come and speak to us. I pray that your Holy Spirit would speak to the children that are here, the teenagers that are here, the adults that are here, all of us. Speak to us and give us the word that we need. Just as you speak to us in the music and in the prayers and in everything that happens in worship, speak to us now. And bless us that when we leave, we would feel that we'd received a word from you. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. A wise man once said about Advent and Christmas, "Blessed is the season which engages the whole world in a conspiracy of love. Blessed is the season that engages the whole world in a conspiracy of love." The other day, a friend of mine stopped in, just poked his head in my office. Right before he left, he said, "You know, we want everything just to smooth out for Christmas. We want conflicts to go away and people to be their best and for life to get easier just for a couple of days. Is that too much to ask? Anybody, what do you think? Is that too much to ask?" And yet, the world does not work that way. Wars do not cease because it is Christmas. Conflicts don't end, even the ones in your living room. Suffering does not take a holiday. People will not become less vulnerable to illness simply because it's Christmas. Poverty will not decrease. Mental health problems will not simply blow into the air. Everything doesn't smooth out, and yet, Christmas can somehow enable us to be our very best in the midst of such circumstances. Christmas calls us to a conspiracy of love, and I would add, joy. I recall being with a family in the intensive care unit at Christmas. Have you ever been in the intensive care unit? I mean, back to the room. Have you ever been in the room, in the ICU room? Have you ever been there? Can you hear it? Can you hear the sound of that room? It has a whirring of pumps. It has a beeping. Boop, boop, boop. A beeping that you only hear if it is absent. And in the middle of that ICU room was gathered a family, and it was Christmas. And it was a story of plans canceled, of disappointment, of sharing disappointment, of calling people and saying, "We're not going to be able to make it after all. I'm so sorry." Of plane tickets eaten rather than taken. They were all there. There was no Christmas dinner except the one served by the staff of the cafeteria. Not exactly what they were hoping for. There was no worship service, save fervent prayers in a ring around a bedside, embracing the hands of one not conscious. And yet, even in that room, there was love, the deepest of concern, laughter. And there was, in a moment, that acknowledgement, the acknowledgement that all anyone hoped for at Christmas was simply to be with someone you love. There was, in that moment, actually a more poignant experience of just how precious it all is. Life, relationships, friendship, being neighbors, family. There was something there that was Christmas. And amidst all that was the laughter and the joy in the moments when there wasn't moments of prayer and tears of concern. Christmas is a time that prompts our kindness, that prompts our forgiveness, our forbearance, our charity to one another. No matter what else is going on in the world or in our lives, Christmas shall come with its generous spirit of love that is fortunately greater than all of us and greater than any of us. Now, there are children in the room today, boys and girls. There is something you must learn as you prepare for Christmas. It's the fourth Sunday of Advent. Notice the four candles are lit on the outside, but the white candle in the center, we hold that candle until Christmas itself. It will be lit during our Christmas Eve worship services. So in this small amount of time that's left, there's something that you must know. It is not in what you shall receive. It is in what you shall give that will ultimately bring you joy at Christmas. And some of you, maybe you're younger, you're thinking, but I don't really have the best gifts. I don't have a big bank account because I'm five. And can I just tell you something? On Christmas Day, when you get up from the table and you say, hey, mom, hey, dad, hey, grandma, whoever you're with, can I help carry the dishes in? Parents, let me ask you, is that gift enough? Amen? Is that big? Your ability to enjoy what others receive along with whatever you might have. But ultimately, just your ability to be kind, to be gracious, to focus on others. Well, that's what we prepare for, but it's not necessarily in our spirit. I mean, people are really complicated, and so today we're looking at Elizabeth. Elizabeth is the cousin of Mary, as we discovered, and it was her husband, Zachariah, a couple weeks ago that we looked at, and we've been in this sermon series where we've been asking ourselves, what if Joseph would have been angry? What if Mary would have said no? And we've been asking ourselves, what if people would have acted differently for Christmas than they ultimately did? So the question about Elizabeth is, what if Elizabeth would have gotten jealous? Because Elizabeth had waited a very long time. And if you're a woman and you've wanted to be pregnant and you've wanted to have a child, that can be very, very disappointing. And to watch other families grow, to watch other women become pregnant. A woman in our church emailed me on Friday. She had seen the title of this sermon, and she identified with Elizabeth because Elizabeth, for all those years, did not become pregnant, and that was this woman's story as well. And she wrote, and I asked her if I could quote what she said, and she said it would be fine. And she said this insight. She said, "One watches her friends move on to become parents, and all the while she is stuck waiting and hoping and being disappointed month after month and year after year. It's very lonely to have a heart full of unsung lullabies." Wow. Now, that woman who wrote that email, she and her husband, with the help of many prayers of patience and a hope in their heart, and with the help of the medical community, they eventually had their child. And now Elizabeth is finally pregnant, and today we hear her exchange with Mary, the mother of Jesus, two expectant mothers, cousins no less, and they visit each other the weeks before the two women will give birth in a similar season. And what I want you to notice is, what I want you to notice this morning is how Elizabeth greets Mary, because if you can understand how Elizabeth greets Mary, you'll understand how to prepare yourself for Christmas. And this is what happens when Mary walks in. Elizabeth hears Mary's greeting, and the child that Elizabeth is carrying moves, leaps. She said, oh my goodness, this baby just leapt in my womb. Now, I've not experienced that. But I'm told it's pretty exciting when it happens. And Elizabeth was filled with what? Boys and girls is the most important thing. So wake your parents up, because they weren't speaking. Wake your parents up. Push on the adults in front of you and say, hey, wake up, because the pastor's trying to teach you something. Elizabeth was filled with what? The Holy Spirit, which means that she had asked God sometime before Mary showed up. In her preparations for Mary's arrival, she had gotten on her knees and said, Holy Spirit, help me to be my very best in this moment, which is what you and I do a couple days before Christmas. We ask ourselves, how can I be my very best for Christmas? How can I be a gift to somebody else at Christmas? How can I make somebody else's Christmas nice instead of thinking about, is my Christmas nice? Because you know what? Elizabeth could have been jealous. Elizabeth could have thought to herself, I've been trying to get pregnant year after year after year, and I'm finally got a child, and all anybody can talk about is Mary. This cousin of mine who's young. I mean, she's young. And she's not even married. And here she comes. And humans do that sometimes, right? Sometimes people feel like if a spotlight is shining on someone else, I am in total darkness. Whether or not I have a spotlight of my very own, humans do this. Have you ever done that? And you know, that jealousy, it's just not appropriate to the taste of Christmas. What's the taste of Christmas? What's the primary taste that we look for at Christmas? It's sweet. I mean, the cookies, the cakes, the pies. I mean, all that other stuff you eat before dessert, that's just what you had to do to get there. Christmas is all about the dessert, wouldn't you agree? Children know, they're so bright. But what's the taste of jealousy? It's a taste of bitter. Bitter. It's just out of place in the season. Have you noticed that? But she could have done that. But she doesn't, because she's filled with what? And so she says, she looks at Mary. Listen to this greeting. Blessed are you amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. To take the focus off of her experience and to encourage. And why does she need to encourage Mary? Because Mary, in fact, is not married. And so when the older senior cousin welcomes you into the family and says, you are blessed. And here's the deal. Mary and Elizabeth have both been met by an angel. Zechariah received it. Mary received it. Elizabeth knew of it. They both received a message from God in those two different ways. And they both know we are in on a conspiracy together. And so Mary chooses community. But she could have chosen jealousy. People do this. There's a competition. There's a competition. It's up in, I think, in Minnesota. And it's called, Lakeville, Minnesota. It's called the Panaprog. I have no idea. If you're from Minnesota and can explain that to me later, catch me at the door. It's called the Panaprog. And it features a baby crawlathon. this baby crawlathon where parents bring babies in and they put them in lanes and then the babies crawl to the end and they celebrate whoever wins. And so in 2015, they've been doing this for years, and in 2015, the little girl that won, her name was Berkeley Bailey, she won, she crossed the finish line, clear winner, faster than all the other kids, and they were, everybody was like, oh, Berkeley won. But moments later, the event organizers huddled and then stripped her of the only title she had ever received in her young life. Because, yes, a mother of another child came forward and said, she's not really crawling. She is moving by grabbing her left arm and pulling herself like a side stroke, if you will, up the lane. With one hand in the air, she did this. And the mother said, that's not really crawling. Look at the rule book. And yes, they apparently had one. They had one. Why? Because they had to disqualify another baby a few years earlier. When another parent came forward and said, it's not fair because he gets up on all fours like a bear and it's not crawling. He's like a speed demon out there. It's not fair to our children. And you're asking yourself, why are we talking about this? And the answer is, I have no idea. I have no idea except to point out there is a contest for crawling. And people complain when other people's kids win it. That's human. That I can believe. But it's not who I want to be. I'd rather be like this woman Elizabeth, who, when her dear young cousin Mary walks in, looks at her cousin and says, oh, Mary, blessed are you among women. And she's not worried about her pregnancy. She's not feeling like she got more and I got less. She shouldn't have any of that. She's ready for Christmas. She's ready for this conspiracy of love that God's doing when the God comes incarnate. You know, it's so easy to blow it. When I was probably 4 or 5 years old, I am amazed how clear this memory is in my mind. If I could take you into the home in which I was raised, I can take you to the spot of the floor I was standing where this happened. And I couldn't have been more than 4 or 5. Now, my next older brother is 4 years older than me. So if I was 4 or 5, he was 8 or 9. The next older brother is 6 years older, so that makes him 10 or 11 at this time. Now, today, when I get together with my two brothers, that's hardly any difference at all. 4 or 5 years, just not a big difference. But when you're 4 or 5, friends, at that time, that's a big difference. Wouldn't you agree? So a treasured relative came in who always brought us generous Christmas gifts every year. One gift to each boy, and he killed it every year. And this year he came in, and the only thing I knew about those three gifts is that my brothers were bigger than mine. Because their gift wrapping was this long, and mine was about this. And when they opened their presents, because I knew they were different, so I kind of waited a little bit. You know how you do. And I waited a little bit, and they opened theirs, and they had full-size fishing rods. And I opened up mine, and it was a small fishing rod. In my memory, I don't even know if my memory is correct anymore, but my memory is it was more a toy that you would use inside, but theirs were real fishing rods that you would use to actually catch fish. And I just remembered thinking, this is the worst Christmas. This is a horrible thing. It is unjust and unfair. Friends, what I'm amazed at is I can still remember that. Ain't that amazing? God wants us to be more than that. Because see, at that age, I allowed jealousy to steal the one gift I had received. I don't even remember what that gift was. I can only remember the gift I envied. And in so doing, jealousy took something from me that was probably really nice. Isn't it interesting, at Christmas we have this choice as we prepare. The choice is, will I see the gaps or will I fill the gap? So, counselors and social scientists, they say don't look at a lot of social media if you want to be happy. Don't spend an hour looking at social media if you want to be happy. Why? Because if you spend an hour, what your brain will start doing is saying, well, their life looks great, and her life looks great, and his life looks great, and we will forget that the only thing you really post on social media is what? Great. Nobody, appropriately, people don't tell us their whole story. They just tell us a little something that's nice. But if we look at too much of it, what psychologists tell us is, we will start to think more, 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 less. And it's just deadly. What if we got up on Christmas Day and we had so prepared ourselves and we had asked the Holy Spirit to come into our lives that if we were alone, and there are some people that will be alone on Christmas Day that are in perfect health, if we were alone because our family was away and our friends, what if we got up on Christmas Day and drove to a nursing home and walked into the front desk and said, do you have anybody who would enjoy a 30-minute visit with someone who would just be kind? Do you have anybody here who's alone? Rather than sitting at home thinking about, will we see the gap or will we fill a gap? The answer to that question is the conspiracy of love. And Elizabeth, she's just so lovely. Can you put up that next text? She looks at Mary coming into her home, and rather than grousing about the fact that she's got a visitor and she's probably 9 months pregnant, rather than saying, I can't believe young Mary's coming, and it's just, this is supposed to be about me, and it's in the, no. She looks at Mary, and she looks at Mary, and she goes, and why has this happened to me that the mother of my Lord has come to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your voice, the child in my womb leapt for joy. I mean, how does she do that? It's so sweet. And what I want you to think about tomorrow and the next day, Christmas Day, are you someone who can just taste the sweetness of Christmas? Not in what you've received, but in what you've given, what you've offered to the people around you. That's what Elizabeth does. And you know, it doesn't have to just be Christmas. Can you put up the last text? Mary looks at Elizabeth and she says, and blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken by the Lord. Tim Ward and I were talking about this week, and Tim said, you know, I used to think that Elizabeth saying that to Mary, like, hey, Mary, you're blessed because you believed that there would be a fulfillment of what the Lord had said. But Tim said this week, he said, I'm studying it this week, I'm thinking to myself, what if Elizabeth was saying that for both of them? So it could read this way, and blessed is the woman who believed that there would be a fulfillment. Hey, this Christmas, you may not be in a fulfilled space. Everything may not be in place. Every person you want to be with may not be present. Every relationship may not just be right. Every war has not ceased. But can you believe that there will be a fulfillment in God's time of all the longing of your heart? That's where Elizabeth sits. That's communal space. That's communal space. I was at this gathering last night with our neighbors, and I was talking to one of our neighbors, and we were doing the usual, you ready for Christmas? And the conversation turned, she has some great things in her life, I have great things in my life, but then the conversation turned, and she shared, she said, but there is this one thing that's not the way I would like it. I'm worried about this one thing. And we talked about that one thing longer than all the good things. And we talked about it longer because I knew what it was like to have that unfulfilled thing in my life, and she knew what it was like to have it in her life, and we just talked about that. And I got to tell you, in that shared moment, there was community. Because nothing brings you into community like the willingness to share a space of hardship with somebody you know. Blessed are those of us who believe what is not yet fulfilled. Boys and girls, Christmas is coming. I hope you receive love and joy and maybe even a gift or two. But I want to tell you a little bit of insight. You're never going to have a great Christmas until you learn that it is a great conspiracy of love this season, and you share that which you long to receive. Amen?
Amen. Amen.